Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
So this went viral on X and TikTok. It's a video of a woman who works for the hospital who drove to the Asheville airport to pick up pediatric medical supplies. She went to the private part of the airport where other rescue workers were milling about, and she talks about what she learned there.
We're sitting in the private portion of the airport, and we got to overhear an awful lot. While we were there, a private jet landed, and four FEMA representatives got off. Four people off of a private jet. Come to find out, and you're not going to hear this, so let me tell you. FEMA said, and you can take this as a direct quote, said that they are too tied up at the border to send any more representatives. Yeah, at the border. So they told Mission Hospital they are not sending refrigerated trucks so that they can stack the bodies up. And we also overheard that whatever fatality numbers you are hearing, and this is a quote, go ahead and add a couple of zeros. So FEMA's too busy with the border. A private hospital and the Army are going to take over body recovery. And private individuals with their private helicopters and their private planes are the ones who are flying in supplies. I was at Hangar 10. I was picking up supplies. There was a stack for the Cajun Navy. There was a stack that looked like it was ASPCA. These are all being sent by private individuals. FEMA is doing nothing. Go ahead and share that.
You may not live in Western North Carolina. If you do, God bless you. But there's a thread here. And once you pull it, you could see the massive tapestry the Democrats are weaving to take over the country and rule it in a one-party system. All authoritarian regimes are one-party systems. But I'm getting ahead of myself. After I heard her viral rant, I wonder if that's true. I wonder if that could be why the people of East Palestine, of Lahaina, and now of Asheville have been ditched by the federal government. So over the weekend, I dug deep. Here's what I found. Back in 2021, the Biden administration dispatched FEMA to the border to complete the child trafficking cycle. That's how I looked at it. A flood of unaccompanied minors was showing up at the border. 122,000 the year after Joe Biden first invited them. 128 the next year. In 2023, a staggering 137,000. Those are massive numbers. At least 487,000 total. They needed somebody to receive these children at the border and to transport them and to move them throughout the country. So the Biden administration ordered FEMA to do it. After all, having tens of thousands of children stack up at the border threatened the entire border voter drive that the Democrats are running, which is to pack as many tens of millions of illegals in here and then amnesty them, knowing they will vote in the majority Democrat and create a one-party system, flipping every state in this nation to at least purple, if not blue. That's the plan. Now, the reason all these kids were stacking up, and they didn't need to, Biden and Kamala did this on purpose. They created a rule that said, if you show up with a kid, it will be presumed that it's a family unit and you'll automatically be let in. So in order to create these family units, because they knew a lot of these were like pimps and the kids that were sex trafficking or kids being sex or trafficked for labor purposes and God knows what other purposes, some would actually legitimately be family units. They said, okay, so if you've got a kid, you're a presumed family unit, and they suspended DNA testing. So a lot of these kids are used over and over and over again. They come through with a different cartel member every week so they can get into the country. That's why the Biden administration had to suspend the DNA testing. It would have created a record. So kids were in high demand. You needed one to cross, or maybe you wanted to cross with ones you could sell her later. That's not me being sarcastic. 2 years ago now, the New York Times reported that 89,000 of these children simply disappeared into the country. Back in 2021, White House spokesperson Jen Psaki even admitted this was all going on.
Big issues here are expediting what's happening at the border. None of these Border Patrol facilities are made for children, and we want to move them as quickly as possible into shelters and then into homes. FEMA, this was an announcement over the weekend, is now supporting, providing support at the border, adding extra capacity to HHS for quick processing to avoid overcrowding. We hope this will help quickly get children into HHS and ORR facilities and placed with vetted sponsors and families. President's very focused on expediting what's happening at the border at every step in the process.
Soon, FEMA rescuers, who are supposed to help Americans, were not just working at the border, they were also working in migrant shelters all over the country. Right away, no matter how much they lie about it and call it misinformation now, they can't hide the contents of their own archives. Right away, this began to have a really bad impact on FEMA's availability in disaster zones. Back in 2021, the New York Times wrote about it in an article called "Facing Hurricane and Wildfire Seasons, FEMA is Already Worn Out." It starts with this line. Workers from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, have been scouting shelters for the migrant children surging across the southern border. And they go on to point out that this might really affect disaster readiness. They even, I can't believe the New York Times did this, quote, Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, who said he wanted to know that FEMA is ready to respond to its other core mission sets, given the fact that it is responding to, quote, rising crossings at the southern border. Unquote. That had put the agency at a disadvantage with hurricane and flood season approaching. So back then, the New York Times was still telling the truth about this. Again, this is them reporting in August of 2021. NPR admitted the same thing in an article called "Not the Government's 911, FEMA Stretched with Multiple Deployments." That year, the fund everybody's talking about right now got $300 million for essentially checks to migrants to support them here in America. By the next year, 2022, the fund would get $800 million. Now, Joe Biden didn't steal that money or move it around or sneak it away from, flood and disaster victims. No, the idiots in Congress appropriated it. In fact, Republicans keep appropriating it every year because they insist on doing CRs, which is basically just passing Nancy Pelosi's budget over and over again rather than passing their own. So Mike Johnson, who actually, ironically, our speaker did an interview trashing Biden for this on Fox News 2 days ago. Yeah, he's the one funding it all. OK, Mike Johnson is the biggest liar I have ever seen. He is so smooth. You'd never know he was the guy funding the whole thing, listening to one of his interviews. He has you think he's an aw shucks guy just trying to stop the Democrats, when in fact, he's funding their entire agenda. And they know it, too. Remember when Republicans tried to impeach Mike Johnson? Guess who saved him? Remember who it was? A majority of Democrats voted to keep him speaker. Why? He was willing to fund the border voter drive to the tune of almost $1 billion in 2022 alone. That money is now being used for hotel rooms for illegals, supplies for their kids, medical care for them and their kids, just everything, everything they could possibly need. I'll get to that in a minute. The fund, which, yes, is run by FEMA and, yes, is separate from the other disaster funds, although it shouldn't be, we should spend that on citizens, is key to maintaining these illegal immigrants in the United States of America. Why? Remember what Jerome Powell, head of the Federal Reserve, admitted last week? That America's really only actually creating about 100,000 jobs a month. They lie and say it's like 250 or something, and then they, you know, months later, they scale it back and do a correction. It is truly about 100,000 jobs a month. Well, when you are taking in 100,000 illegals a month, that's not enough for Americans illegals. I mean, that's not work, right? And the Center for Immigration Studies did a study. Less than half of illegal immigrant adults had a job. Well, that makes sense. There aren't enough jobs for us and for them. So to get the new voters here and maintain them, you have to find a steady supply of cash to pay all their living expenses. Now, imagine what would happen for a minute. The Biden-Harris administration will have admitted about 12 million illegals by the end of the term, if you count the gotaways, right? So 2 million of those are gotaways. The other 10 million they have to maintain, right? What would happen if the American people figured out that fund was there, Republicans took office and they cut it off? These illegals would be stuck in America, don't even speak English, maybe illiterate in their own language. Many of them are. No jobs, not enough jobs for them, even if they want to work, and no visible means of support. So poor, they can't even return. It would be a humanitarian disaster. And the Democrats know it. It threatens the very voter drive itself. They want to get to 30, 40, 50 million. They can't do it if at 10 million they stall out because the Republicans have found the funds and let the American people know about it. A publication called Government Executive was writing about the problem as recently as April of this year. Headline, under-resourced FEMA would see new commitment to growing workforce under bipartisan bill. It admits that FEMA was desperately understaffed. It's short 6,000 workers anyway. They're just having trouble getting people who want to do these jobs. Wonder why. And it says FEMA employees in recent years have been deployed to natural disaster sites, wildfires, and the U.S.-Mexico border. And it says that they were also resettling Afghan evacuees for all of that. So they're short-staffed, it says. They wanted to do something about it. So all these things that we're being told are misinformation now aren't. They were admitting them earlier this year. Now, I wondered why Alejandro Mayorkas, the head of the Department of Homeland Security, which is over FEMA, would commit what seemed to be the political gaffe of coming out and saying, hey, we're about to run out of money here. We can only pay for, you know, North Carolina, and then if there's another hurricane, we can't pay after that. Why would he say that? Why would he volunteer that? I figured it out this weekend doing a lot of my own research. By January of 2023, according to a left-wing nonprofit that lobbies for and advocates for a total open border, as well as a welcome system at the border funded by government, they're called the National Immigrant Justice Center, described what FEMA had become at the border with this $800 million for the new shelter and services grant program. They're loaded down with cash, but they're also playing a critical role in welcoming newly arrived migrants. Listen to how they describe what FEMA is doing at the border with their staff and with this money. They say that the shelter and support program is the centerpiece of the United States approach to border reception. Think about that. Border reception. So there's no repelling anybody at the border. They've set up a reception system at the border. FEMA then helps illegal immigrants at every step of the way, taking care of their every need. And then they give grants. This is what they do. They give grants to places like New York. There's a $40 million grant, a $60 million grant, over and over and over again. They use this to put illegals in shelters or hotel rooms or both. Here's a reporter interviewing two illegal immigrants outside of a hotel in New York. I'll put the link in the podcast description. Take a listen. He's interviewing two illegal immigrant women, one of whom has a baby in a carriage. I'll translate.
¿Y por cuánto tiempo han estado quedándose aquí en otro hotel?
And how long have you been here? He says. Like 7 months, one woman says. 8 months, the other woman says. And how have you paid for it? No, nothing. Nothing I haven't paid. 100% free. And they give you breakfast and lunch. And they said yes. And they give the child personal items like diapers. And in the hotel, do they clean the rooms? Yes, every day. Very clean. And they change the bed sheets. Every day? Yes, the women say every day. Have you been able to get a job? He asks. No, 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 not me, no. If you had a medical problem, how would you receive help? He asks. Well, with the medical insurance. And she says, Medicare. And then she says, we have the Metro Blue, and that covers the children's need, she says. We also benefit from that. Did you feel supported thanks to our president? He asks. Well, yes, yes, because she says, we aren't working or anything. And he's the one helping us. Now, imagine what would happen if that fund inside of FEMA were to suddenly dry up, that $1 billion every year that they're using to maintain these illegal immigrants. It'd be a humanitarian disaster, wouldn't it? I mean, we don't have enough jobs for them, even if they wanted to work. Many don't even speak English, and they're used to their every need being taken care of. It would, again, be a disaster. This is the biggest threat there is to the Democrats, because the dirty little secret is this. These illegal immigrants didn't pay to come here. In previous podcasts, I've documented through the New York Post's reporting about $4 billion that's been spent by our State Department, sent to the UN, and then the UN recycles it to about 40 NGOs to pay for everything about their trip up here. So their hotel rooms, their food, new clothes. That's why when they come over the border, their clothes are new, right? So they couldn't even make this journey without taxpayers paying for it.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, once they get here, their every need is taken care of. If somebody were to discover this fund, and it was discovered this week, that's why they're in a panic, and eliminate it, their border voter drive grinds to a halt. And as I said before, a humanitarian disaster. Now, the good news is this means we could turn the spigot off if Trump's elected and has the political will very, very quickly. Because if you end this funding, it'll simply stop. We're paying for the whole thing. It's not a matter of going out there with guns and defending the border even. I mean, some people would still come over, but most of them won't if we simply stop paying. And now that the public knows where that tranche of money is, the pressure is going to be much heavier, especially on the political class. Okay, now I'm going to make everything going on make sense. Remember during Lahaina, Joe Biden had the same reaction as he did during Asheville, which is remarkable because Buncombe County is a blue county where Asheville is. It's 100,000 blue voters. Lahaina, same thing with the fires. Mostly majority blue, right? What did Joe Biden do both times those disasters happened? He hid at the beach. Remember him being on the beach while the fires were still raging in Lahaina? And he wouldn't even take the reporter's questions. He hid out until such outrage grew that he finally had to go there and then ignore it after that. He did the same thing in Asheville, literally hiding on the beach. Why? Because the plan from the Democrats, they know they can't deploy FEMA, okay? FEMA is critical to a critical cog in the voter smuggling, voter drive operation. These people would quickly pile up the border if there wasn't FEMA to help move them. So what they do is they kill these disasters. They try to black them out. This is why Joe Biden didn't go to East Palestine, despite all of the screaming, because they want it off the front pages. They want it silenced so they don't have to send the FEMA employees. And so that you won't ask questions about the amount of money, because if you fully funded recovery for these disasters, it couldn't be given to the illegal immigrants and the whole system would collapse. Why? This is the critical part to make all of this make sense. Back in January, the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Appropriations held a hearing, one of many that's been held on this issue, about whether FEMA could continue funding what's going on at the border and putting staff out there and still appropriately respond to natural disasters. Of course, the answer is no. The head of FEMA, Diane Criswell, was there. Here's what she told Congress. And by the way, at the time, Republicans were bellyaching and screaming about the $800 million fund for the illegals. Again, this is April of 2024, and complaining that if all the money's going to the illegals, it might affect whether people will get proper response in disasters. Okay, so this is not new. This has been going on for years. Now, here's what the head of FEMA admitted. And I keep waiting for somebody in the media to figure this out. If there's enough disasters, what they call their disaster relief fund could become depleted. If it becomes depleted, the agency would be forced to enact its immediate needs funding policy, which means it pauses all non-emergency response-related activities in order to maintain preparedness. In other words, the illegal immigrant funding gets paused if they run out of the disaster money. So the Democrats, the media, and the left are telling the truth when they say, yes, it is a separate fund, and yes, it was funded by Congress, and yes, the money is not coming out of the disaster relief funds. But if the disaster relief funds run out and Congress doesn't provide any more money, guess where it has to come from? The illegal immigrant voter drive money. The Democrats simply can't allow that to happen again for two reasons. Number one, it would create an immediate illegal immigration humanitarian disaster inside the country as 10 million people were left destitute. We'd see the reality. I mean, they like to spin the yarn like, they're working, doing jobs Americans won't do. There aren't enough even of those jobs for them. This is going to be 6-7 million people with no employment. It is going to be an absolute disaster, okay? But they got another problem, and that's this. They wanted to welcome 200 million migrants to the U.S., and I think they figure that'll completely remake the country totally blue. They'll distribute them to red states. There won't even be a purple state left, right? We know they intended to welcome 200 million because Joe Biden's campaign website in the summer of 2020 said that that was their plan. He wrote the document with Bernie Sanders to welcome all of the world's migrants, about 200 million people. So they don't want the voter drive to stop until every state is completely blue. If Americans found out that these illegals are living on the back of the taxpayer, they're not even here doing jobs Americans won't do. Some of them are, but there just aren't enough of those jobs. All hell would likely break loose and the voter drive would have to end. If the funding dried up, their voters might even go home. Many of them anyway. They can't let that happen, folks, because they know that American voters, even Black American voters, even eventually, I think, female American voters, single female cat ladies are going to go, whoa, 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 whoa. No, I'm struggling. I'm not supporting an illegal immigrant family. They're going to rebel against this. They're also going to rebel against the entire woke agenda. They just can't be pushed much further. And using the FBI to censor is not a long-term solution. They need new voters. They can't get any further with their socialist, communist, authoritarian agenda without them. The whole project would go kabloom. And it's all resting on keeping this money flowing and getting more of it. It also now makes sense why the governor of North Carolina, Roy Cooper, a Democrat, requested the military be deployed. You have to trigger the Stafford Act for that on the 27th, but Joe Biden didn't do it until 5 days later. All it takes is a signature, yet he didn't bother for 5 days. Why? What is the military doing out there? Body recovery. If we knew the real numbers of bodies, it'd become really clear how big this disaster is, and it would keep it on the front pages. They need it to fade with smaller numbers than the reality, which I think is going to run 500, 600 bodies just based on what we're hearing here. That's one of the reasons he held the military back. They don't want to find the bodies this early on until people's attention on this fades to something else, because they don't want to have to use funds for this that ultimately will put, you know, the program in the hole, and then they'll have to trigger the use of the illegal immigrant funds or go back to Congress. Now, if you're an X user, you notice something about over about 48 hours after the devastation of Asheville, the media turned a blind eye. The local media did do some reporting. You did know that the hurricane hit western North Carolina. You knew that, but the extent of the damage wasn't known. So why has this all unraveled on the national stage? Again, it's because of X. People began uploading videos and talking about the absolute devastation, the loss of life, and the media was not able to tamp it down. But they were able to tamp it down for about 48 hours after it happened. They were going to do the same thing they had done in Lahaina and East Palestine, where they simply blacked it out to avoid having to spend the money, so as to avoid depleting the funds and having to tap into the illegal immigrant money, stopping, therefore, the voter drive. This is why Kamala and Joe automatically ignored North Carolina, downplayed it, pretended like it was no big deal. Again, and this is every podcast now, but if it weren't for X and people sharing the videos off of X with their friends and family. It's really become the source for news in the United States of America, most of it broken by people just sharing videos of what's going on. They've been unable to hide this from the American people, and now news of the fund is out. Folks, every day almost, the existence of X clashes with the Democrats' agenda. They will blame Elon Musk for this, and they won't be wrong. He understands, by the way, what's at stake in this election. I'm going to get into this more tomorrow. When he flat out says, for supporting Donald Trump and allowing free speech on X, that if she wins, he says he's going to prison. He laughed about it, kind of joked about it, but he's not wrong. He is literally going to prison. You can check out the Wall Street Journal. They've written extensively about the lawfare against him. It's very similar to what they did to Trump. And the first case, the first criminal case against him by the DOJ failed because he's got a good legal team. Now they're working on their second case. It's a criminal case with the SEC. And that assumes that Kamala doesn't just extradite him for free speech crimes directly to the UK and France for trial. And then we just never see him again. So he's right. And he flat out said in an interview with Tucker Carlson, they will put me in prison if she wins. And quite frankly, if they're going to continue this crap, they have to. They cannot do it with anyone or anything acting as an honest media.
If he loses, man, what?
You're f***ed, dude.
I'm f***ed. If he loses, I'm f***ed.
It does seem that way. You can't just be like, you can't just be like, yo, I.
Yeah, I'm like, how long do you think my prison sentence is going to be? Do you think? Will I see my children? I don't know.
Because it's not like you can say, well, yeah, I maxed out to him, but, you know, I get...
I have no plausible liability. No. No, and I've been trashing for falling on stuff.
Oh, I know!
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.